سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. إن شاء الله after the remaining dua, there is a Quran to take this. All but the requested to participate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. إن في السماوات والأرض لآيات للمؤمنين، وفي خلقكم وما يبث من دابة آيات لقوم يوقنون. واختلاف الليل والنهار وما أنزل الله من السماء من رزق فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وتصريف الرياح آيات لقوم يعقلون. تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق، فبأي حديث بعد الله وآياته يؤمنون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. This surah is Surah Al-Jathiyah, and it has been named Surah Al-Jathiyah due to this word Al-Jathiyah occurring in the 28th ayah of this Quran, of this surah. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ. That on the day of Qiyamah, you will see every nation kneeling. They will be on their knees pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy. This entire surah is a Makki surah. So it was revealed before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. And according to some commentators of the Quran, ayah number 14, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ أَيَّامَ اللَّهِ. This ayah is a Madani ayah. But the most preferred opinion is that even this ayah is a Makki ayah, which means that the entire surah is a Makki surah. And because it's a Makki surah, then once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid great emphasis upon the three fundamental topics. Tawheed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And Risalat, prophethood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ma'ad, that there is a life after death. Because this was the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkatul Mukarrama. During his time in Makkatul Mukarrama, Islam was still in its initial stages. So in the initial stages, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent in an environment where either a person did not believe in Allah, Or he believed in Allah, but with Allah he also ascribed many other partners with Allah. He believed in many idols. So it was an environment of kufr and shirk. A kafir did not believe in Allah. And a mushrik, he believed in Allah, but with Allah he also ascribed many other partners. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mission was to call these people and invite them towards believing in one Allah. This is why in the Makki surahs, great emphasis is placed upon this topic of Tawheed. In different ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that Allah ta'ala exists and Allah ta'ala is one. He is the only one who is worthy of worship. And with Tawheed, the second topic which is discussed is Risalat, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because once this person believes in Allah, and he also believes that there's only one Allah. But now, what does he need to do? How does he need to live in this world? Who is he going to listen to? Who is he going to follow? So for this, he will have to accept somebody to be the prophet. If he does not accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the prophet, then after accepting that Allah exists and Allah is one, what's the way forward now? He will have to accept somebody as an authority who can teach him that this is what you need to do. So this is the second topic which is discussed, Risalat. And the third topic is Ma'ad, life after death. Why is this so important? Because if a person does not believe in life after death, then what's the point whether he does the good things and refrains from the evil? A person will only carry out good if he knows that after this life there's another life and I am going to be questioned. Then he will carry out the good and he will refrain from the evil. So it's for this reason that in the Makki surahs, great emphasis is laid upon these three fundamental topics. And this is the sixth of the seven surahs in the Quran, which come one after another, which all begin with Hamim. They are known as the Hawamim also. And they are also known as Ale Hamim, the family of Hamim. And all seven were revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah. And they were all revealed in the same order that they appear in the Quran. Hamim, the first verse is Hamim. The most cautious approach with regards to these letters, which are known as Huruf-e-Muqatta'at, which we have discussed on many occasions previously also, is that Allahu A'lamu bi-muradihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning of Hamim. We do not try to understand what Hamim means. Did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know the meaning? Did he not know the meaning? Instead of going into all of these intricacies, we believe that Hamim is an ayah of the Quran, but we do not try to understand what Hamim means. Tanzeelul kitabi min Allahil azizil hakim. The revelation of the book, meaning the Quran, is from Allah, Al-Aziz, the Mighty, Al-Hakim, the Wise. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one part of his mission was, as already mentioned, to call people towards believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to substantiate his prophethood, it was necessary for the people to believe and accept that he is receiving wahi and revelation. These verses of the Quran which he is reciting, he is not making up these verses. Rather, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is being sent down from the heavens, and Jibreel alayhi salam is bringing this Quran down, which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why in many surahs of the Quran, in the beginning you find some sort of phrase like this. Like here we find Tanzeelul Kitab minallahil azizil hakim. That the revelation of the book is from Allah, the mighty, the wise. Meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has not made up this Quran. This Quran is from Allah. Some of them would say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a poet. So because he is a poet, he has composed this Quran as poetry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted the claim that وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Some of them said that he is a fortune teller, a soothsayer. He can tell the future. So again, the Quran said that وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. These are not the words of a fortune teller. So what is this? This is تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is a revelation from Rabbul Alameen. Some of them used to say that it's the shayateen who bring down these verses and who teach Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So again, the Quran said that وَمَا تَنَزَّلَتْ بِهِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ وَمَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. It's not befitting for the shayateen to bring down such noble verses. Nor do they have the ability. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this Quran, it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not made up this Quran. And after making this point clear that the Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in the initial part of this surah, in the next three ayat, the next three verses, in a very amazing manner, speaks about his tawheed and his oneness. That Allah ta'ala exists and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. إِنَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. There are certainly many ayat, many signs, proving the greatness and oneness of Allah للمؤمنين, in the heavens and the earth for the mu'minin. وَفِي خَلْقِكُمْ, in your creating you. وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, and the creatures that we have spread out on earth. Ayatul liqawmi yuqinoon, there are also numerous ayat for those who are convinced, meaning about the truth of tawheed. Wakhtilafil layli wan nahar, the alternation of the night and day. Wama anzalallahu minas sama'i min rizqin, the sustenance that Allah sends from the skies. Fa ahya bihil arda ba'da mawtiha, that revives the earth after its death. وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ, and the turning of the winds in various directions. آيَاتٌ, are all ayat and signs. لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, for people with understanding. When we analyze the entire Quran, we find that there is one ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah in which the subject matter of that particular ayah is extremely similar to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in these three ayat of the Quran. And in that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard, wa ikhtilafil layli wal nahar, wal fulki allati tajri fil bahr, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. In that ayah, before that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about his tawheed, mentions that وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدٌ. Your ilah, your deity is one. Meaning the deity who is worthy of worship, he is only one. La ilaha illahu. There is no deity besides him. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the all merciful, he is the very merciful. The Mufassirin mentioned that in this one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that he is the only one who is worthy of worship. And Allah ta'ala has also mentioned the proof of this. And what is the proof that Allah ta'ala has mentioned? The proof is that he is Ar-Rahman and he is Ar-Rahim. He is the all-merciful and he is the very merciful. Meaning that Allah ta'ala is so merciful, so merciful, so merciful that whatever mercy you see in the world, whatever goodness you see in the world, it is an effect of the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever goodness you see, if this is an effect of His mercy, then this means that He must be the creator and He must be the one who is worthy of worship. But this proof is for the intellectual people. Not each and every individual through this proof can come to this conclusion that there is one Allah who is worthy of worship. And in this world, you don't only have intellectual people. You have two types. You have the intellectual people and you have the layman. And the Quran is not only for the intellectuals. The Quran is for both the intellectuals as well as the layman. Just as with regards to the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this proof regarding the Quran. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. That if قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْجِنُّ وَالْإِنسُ أَلَا أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لا يأتون بمثله ولو كان بعضهم لبعض ظهيرا. That O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are saying and claiming that this Quran is something which you have made up. So tell them that if all of the jinn and if all of the humans, if they were all to become one and they were to make this their mission, that they try and produce a Qur'an like this Qur'an, then they will not be able to do so, even if they were to assist one another in this. So this was the first challenge which was given to these people. That if you claim Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made up this Qur'an, then all you have to do is produce a book which is on the same standard as this book. And they were Arabs, and they were also extremely eloquent, and they were very literate people, very educated people. They were able to compose poetry which was on a very high level and very high standard. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made this Quran himself, they would have easily been able to produce a book which was not only on the same standard, but of a much higher standard. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered. He was not even taught or educated. He could not even read or write. But there was silence in Arabia. Nobody came forward that, yes, I have produced a book which is on the same standard as the Quran. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the challenge easier. And Allah ta'ala said, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى. Do they say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made up this Quran? Qul, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, Fa'tu bi ashri suwarim mithlihi. That just bring 10 surahs and 10 chapters like the Quran. Forget the entire Quran, just 10 surahs. But again, they failed in this challenge also. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. If you are in doubt upon that Quran which we have revealed upon our servant, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّمْ مِثْلِهِ. Then just bring one surah like a surah of the Quran. Suratul Kawthar, which is the smallest surah of the Quran, just produce something like Suratul Kawthar. But it has to be on that standard. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala said that, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, if you are not able to do so, then فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Then because now it has been proven that this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are still not accepting it, then you should now fear that fire of Jahannam. But before mentioning that, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, that you will never be able to do so. Meaning not only during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the day of Qiyamah, no matter how much knowledge man possesses, he will never be able to stand up and claim that I have produced one surah which is on the same standard as Suratul Kawthar. That this is a proof with regards to the truthfulness of the Qur'an, that the Qur'an is the book of Allah Ta'ala. But who is this proof for? This proof is for the intellectual sector. What are you and I going to understand if somebody was to produce a paragraph and say that, look, this is on the same standard as the Qur'an? How will we be able to come to a conclusion that is it or is it not? We won't be able to do so. It's the ulama and those who are extremely profound in the Quran and the different sciences of the Quran, they tell us that this is nowhere near the standard of the Quran. You and I will not be able to see the difference. So this proof is for the intellectual sector. But for you and I who are the layman in this field, for us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a very simple proof. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun." That we revealed the Quran and we are the ones who are protecting the Quran. Now this proof anybody can understand, even a young child, that from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam until now, more than 1400 years have passed, yet still this Quran is in its original form. You go to China and somebody will recite the entire Quran from Alhamdulillah till Suratul Nas in the exact manner that somebody is reciting the Quran here in the UK. And there will be no difference. You go to Pakistan, you go to Egypt, you go to Arabia, you go to any country. In the month of Ramadan, on the first night of Taraweeh, you go into any masjid and you will recite and listen to the Quran and it will be the same Quran. It's not that a different Quran will be recited somewhere else and a different Quran is being recited here. And if the Hafiz was to make a mistake, in place of Zabar, if he was to just read Zir, straight away someone from behind will say that, no, it's not Zabar, it's Zir. And there will be no argument that, no, it is Zabar or is Zir, no. The Quran is being preserved. So this is something which everybody can understand. You don't need to be an intellectual to understand this. This is why during the time of Ma'mun Rashid, there was an individual who came into his court. Ma'mun Rashid was the Khalifa of the time, like a king. So this non-Muslim, he came into his court and they tried to convince him to accept Islam. But after mentioning many, many proofs, he was not convinced and he did not accept Islam. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned this incident in his tafsir. So he says that after one entire year, the same program took place again. where Ma'mun Rashid would invite the learned people of his time, and those who are learned in Islam, they would preach the religion of Islam and try and convince others to also accept Islam. So 1 year later, when this same individual came to the same conference, he had now accepted Islam. So Ma'mun Rashid asked him that last year we tried to convince you so much, but you are not interested in Islam. So what made you accept Islam? So he said, after I left from here, I also had an interest that I want to know what is the correct religion. So I produced 3 copies of the Bible, 3 copies of the Book of the Jews, the Psalms, and 3 copies of the Quran. And I beautified them. But then what I did is I changed some of the wording. I changed the order of some of the verses. And first I went outside the church. The first person who came out the church, he saw, he picked up the Bible. It looked very nice, very beautiful. The binding was very nice, very colorful. He said, this looks very nice, I want to purchase it. He purchased it and he went. Second person, third person, within a minute all 3 were sold. He said, then I did the same with the Jews. I went and stood outside their place of worship. And within a minute, all 3 were sold. But when I went with the 3 copies of the Quran outside the masjid, the first person came out. And when he lifted the Quran, he began to shout and say that, come and check, is this Quran even correct or not? Some newcomer is here and he's selling a copy of the Quran. So the people began to flick the pages and they said that, no, this is not the same Quran that we read. This is wrong. There are mistakes in here. So he said, after observing this, I came to this conclusion that nobody is protecting the Bible, nobody is protecting the Psalms, but somebody is protecting the Quran. And upon this, I accepted Islam. So this is a sign which everybody can understand. You don't even need to spend too much time pondering. You don't need to use your intellect. It's very easy to understand. So in the same way, in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ, that Allah is Rahman and Rahim. He is the most merciful. And He is so merciful that because of His mercy, whatever goodness you see in the world is an effect of His mercy. This is a sign that He is the only one who is worthy of worship. But this is for the intellectual people. The layman will not be able to understand this proof. So for the layman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ. Signs which are very easy to understand. And those similar points have also been mentioned here in Surah Al-Jathiyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, in the heavens. See, in the heavens. Allah ta'ala invites us that take out time and ponder at the sky. There are 7 heavens. So what's in the first heaven, what's in the second heaven, what's in the third heaven, only Allah ta'ala knows. Just this first layer, the sky, which you and I can see. Just the sky. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ. Do you see any dent in the sky? This sky, which has been there for thousands and thousands of years. When you have a ceiling, after some time you will begin to see marks, you will begin to see dents. But the sky, which has been there for so long, the aeroplanes go in the sky, rockets go into the sky. By now it should have been damaged. But هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. This entire sky, but there's not a single pillar. There's no pillar supporting the sky, no pillar which is holding up the sky. So إِنَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, the sky. And then above everything which is there, the sun, If somebody was to just sit and start studying the sun, there's so much information now that we can gain just over the internet. A person in his science lessons, in school, whatever you've learned. So if you just study the sky, if you just study the sun, and everything regarding the sun, then the moon, then the stars, the planets, the universe, the galaxies. And then these are only those things which scientists have managed to discover. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all those other things which we haven't even discovered yet. And which we will probably never discover. So when a person ponders over all this, this will lead him to believing in Allah and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْأَرْضِ and the earth. أَفَلَا يَنْذُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ Allah ta'ala says that, do they not look at the camel, how the camel has been created? أَفَلَا يَنْذُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ Towards the sky, how it has been raised. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ And towards the mountains. How we have placed the mountains on this earth. Because this earth, two-thirds of it is water. And only one-third is land. So when the earth was made, the land was moving. It was shaking because it was in water. So in order to make the land firm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed mountains proportionately on earth. So these mountains which we see in the world, it's not a coincidence that these mountains are in these particular places. No, Allah ta'ala knows that exactly where there is a need for a mountain. And if that mountain is to be taken out from its place, then once again the earth will begin to shake. So Allah ta'ala says that, who has placed these mountains? And, وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُتِحَتْ Do they not look towards the earth, how we have spread out the earth? This earth which is round, which is a globe. But no matter where you travel, you will never come to this conclusion that now it's time for me to go round. No, it's as if it's always flat. Mihada and firasha. Allah Ta'ala says, we have made it a place where you can rest. Just imagine if your house was round, if you lived in a globe. So we are living in a globe, but you can't tell you're living in a globe. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that, ponder over this. And thereafter, ponder over everything else which is on this earth. And beneath this earth, scientists claim that the maximum they are able to go down is 18 miles or 18 kilometers. After which there is a layer, and until today they have not been able to produce a tool with which they are able to dig anymore. As far as going up is concerned, they managed to reach the moon. But when it goes downwards, they are not able to go further. So what's beneath there, only Allah Ta'ala knows. And on this earth, what there is? How much have we discovered? It's a very small percentage in comparison to what we haven't discovered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to ponder over the heavens and the earth, how Allah ta'ala has created them, and thereafter what Allah ta'ala has created in them. إِنَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ That there are certainly many ayat, many signs proving the greatness and oneness of Allah in the heavens and the earth for the mu'minin. وَفِي خَلْقِكُمْ And in your creating you. In your own creation. So first Allah Ta'ala says, ponder over the heavens. Then He says, forget the heavens, ponder over the earth where you are staying, where you are right now. Then He says, forget the earth as well. Just ponder over yourself, your body. Each and every limb. Just study the eye. How amazing the one eye is. It will take weeks and months just to study this one eye. So nobody is able to create this eye, but look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this eye. Then ponder over your ears, your nose, your lips, your teeth. The 32 teeth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And they have different functions. The fingers, the thumb is different to the other four fingers. This hand, you can make it into a cup also. And you can use it as a bowl also. And you can use it as a plate also. And you can use it as a tray also. And if there's an enemy before you, you can use it as a weapon also. Who has given this to you? This is Allah. Allah Ta'ala is saying, look at your body. We created you. Look at the manner in which we created you before you came into existence. We brought you into this world through six different phases. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ دِينٍ. We created the human being from an extract of clay. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the very first human being, was created from clay. And you and I, we are also created from clay and from soil. How? Because a human being is created from a drop of semen. And this drop of semen comes into existence through blood. 40 drops of blood. And the blood comes into existence when? When the man consumes food. And where does the food come from? The food comes from the soil. The plants, the vegetables that you eat, the fruit that you eat, the crops, the rice. So all the food comes from the soil. So we have created you from the soil. This is the first phase. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ تِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً. Then we turn this food into a drop of semen. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ أَلَقَةً. And then this drop of semen, we turn that into a clot of blood. فَخَلَقْنَا الْأَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. And then we turn this clot of blood into a fetus lump. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. And then we turn this fetus lump into bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And then we clothe these bones with flesh. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. And then we take this person out when he comes out from his mother's womb. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. Develop it into another creature. Meaning a baby comes out. So look where it began. One drop of sperm, which was so filthy that if this drop fell on this person, then he would instantly want to clean it off. But that same drop, after making it go through these stages, now when it comes out in the form of a child, this father will hug this baby with much love and much affection. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. How blessed is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most excellent of creators. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us that just ponder over your own creation, how you were created. And then all your different organs, if you were to just ponder that how has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all of this, this will also take you towards believing in Allah and will make you understand the greatness of Allah ta'ala. وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ. That we have spread out on earth the creatures, and the creatures, the animals that we have spread out on earth. So this is an entire another world, the world of animals. The animals, the fish, the insects. A person, when he goes into a submarine, half an hour, 45 minutes, he travels and he sees countless of fish. This is just in that half an hour, 45 minutes, in just one part of the ocean. So just imagine how many Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have created. This is why those who take this as their obsession, that they begin to study one type of species or one type of animal, they spend their entire life, but they still don't claim that we have now managed to discover every single type of species in this particular type of animal. For example, a person has an interest in snakes. He'll spend his entire life, but he will not be able to claim that I've managed to clock this mission of mine that I know regarding all the different types of snakes. So that's the snakes. Imagine all the other types of animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that ponder over the different types of animals I have created. The different ways they assist the human being, they benefit the human being. How you benefit from them. Then how they look. Some of them extremely beautiful, some of them are frightening. Some are predators, some are those that are there to help the human being. Some you consume. Some you use their skin for your clothes, for your houses. You drink the milk. بَيْنَ فَرْثٍ وَدَمِ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ Allah Ta'ala says that, look at this milk. That Allah Ta'ala produces this milk inside an animal. بَيْنَ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ There is blood and there is filth, the excretion. In between the excretion and the filth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in between the excretion and the blood, Allah ta'ala produces milk. And when this milk comes out, it's labanan khalisan sa'igan lisharibin. It's completely pure and something which quenches the thirst of the person who drinks it. You don't have to filter it. You don't have to remove the blood from it. You don't have to remove the filth from it. No, completely pure milk. Animal consumes the same leaf. But when the goat consumes this leaf, then the goat produces droppings. And when the silkworm consumes the same leaf, the silkworm produces silk. And when the deer consumes the same leaf, then the deer produces musk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, ponder over this. Who is doing all of this? So in every single animal, if a person was to just ponder over the animals, he will come to this conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. And Allah ta'ala exists and Allah ta'ala is one. وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِن دَابَّةٍ آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ And in the alternation of the night and the day. The night and the day. The night and the day are also signs of Allah. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْبَدًا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِدِيَاءٍ Allah Ta'ala says that if I was to make it night and I was to decide that from now until Qiyamah it's only going to be night, who is there from your deities that can bring light? Who can bring day? And أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ If Allah Ta'ala was to decide that it's only going to be day now, there will be no night, then who can turn it into night, that night in which you find peace and tranquility? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed such an effect in the night that as soon as it's night time, a person feels tired, he rests, and once he wakes up in the morning, all that tiredness goes away and he is ready to work for the next day. And during the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this effect that a person feels like doing work. This is why even those people who do night shift, they are not as productive at night as they could be if they worked in the day. They will only work at night because they have to. But the system of Allah Ta'ala is such that the day is for work and the night is for resting and sleeping. بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ Allah Ta'ala has placed sukoon, peace and tranquility in the night. You will never find that peace and tranquility in the day. If a person stays awake the entire night and he tries to make up for that sleep in the day, he will not be able to do so. Because this is the qudrat of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is saying that look at the night and the day. And then the night and the day, its connection is with the sun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ponder over this. You ponder over how we make the sun rise and how we make the sun set. We make the sun rise and the sun set. The time is also fixed and the place is also fixed. That the sun will rise at this time and the sun will rise from this place. And it will set at this time and it will set at this place. It's fixed. رَبُّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ Allah Ta'ala says, Rabbul Masharik, He is the Rabb of all of those spots, all of those points from where the sun rises. 365 points. Allah is the Rabb. And Wal Magharib, He is the Rabb of the 365 points in where the sun sets. And if somebody is not able to ponder this much because his intellect is not on that level, then Allah Ta'ala says, Rabbul Mashriqain wa Rabbul Maghribain. I am the Rabb of those places from where the sun rises in winter and those places from where the sun rises in summer. And I am also the Rabb of those places where the sun sets in winter, and I am also the Rabb of those places where the sun sets in summer. But then Allah Ta'ala knows that there are three types of people. You have foundation, you have intermediate, and you have higher. So if you are on foundation, Rabbul Masharik wal Maghrib is too much for you. Rabbul Mashriqain wal Maghribain is also too much for you. So let's make it easy. Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib. I am the Rabb of the East and I am the Rabb of the West. The East from where the sun rises and the West where the sun sets. Now just look at how amazing the Quran is and the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to bring Tawheed into the people. He is using every single way to try and make them understand that there is one Allah and He is the Allah who is worthy of worship. And He is your creator. So Allah Ta'ala says that وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ رِزْقٍ And that Allah who sends from the skies rizq. Over here, rizq and sustenance means rain. Rain. Because Allah Ta'ala does not send the food down from the sky. You don't see your rice coming down from the sky. What comes from the sky? Rain. But the rain is the means of your rizq. When it will rain, then the food will grow. So Allah Ta'ala uses rizq here, indicating towards the rain. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the earth after its death. When it's extremely hot, it's not been raining in these hot countries for many, many weeks, many, many months. You look at the land, it looks completely dead. But then the rain comes down. And when the rain comes down, everything begins to grow. And you see life. Allah Ta'ala says, who is doing all of this? فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْنَ مَوْتِهَا وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ And the turning of the winds in the various directions. The turning of the winds. Allah Ta'ala is saying, ponder over the wind. That some winds, they travel from the east to the west. And some winds travel from the west to the east. Some travel from the north to the south. And some travel from the south to the north. Some of these winds, they are cool. And some of them, they are hot. There is heat in them. Some of them are beneficial for you. And some of them are harmful for you. Allah Ta'ala is saying, just ponder over the different types of winds. Even this will make you realize the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, نُصِرْتُ بِالصَّبَى وَأُهْلِكَتْ عَادٌ وَأُهْلِكَتْ عَادٌ بِالدَّبُورِ That we, or I, was assisted by the wind of Sabah. So there's one wind, the name of this wind is Sabah. And this wind, Sabah, it's moderate in its nature. It's not extremely strong, it's not a very harsh wind. It travels moderately. And it travels and moves from the east towards the west. This wind is called Sabah. And the Urdu poets, when they sometimes want to send a message, they use this word sabah. For example, one poet says, E baade sabah, ruk ruk ke tuja, roze ki maki se yu kehna, main dil hi dil mein rota hu, jab log Madina jaate hain. So he's telling the wind sabah, that you take this message of mine to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is resting in Madina Munawwara, and say to him, that I cry in my heart when people go to Madina Munawwara. That this person is going to Madina and I am still here in Leicester. I can't go. I also want to go. So they would tell the Ba'de Sabah to take the message to wherever they wanted to. So Sabah is this wind. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nusirtu bis Sabah. I was assisted with the wind Sabah. Where? Ghazwa-i Ahzab. In the battle of Ahzab, We were assisted with this wind. Allah Ta'ala sent Sabah, and through Sabah He assisted the Muslim army. And وَأُهْلِكَتْ عَادٌ بِالدَّبُورِ, the nation of Ad, they were destroyed by another wind, which is called Dabur. So Dabur, this is that wind which is very hot in its nature. It's not a cool breeze, it's hot. And it moves from the west towards the east. And it's a very severe wind. Allah Ta'ala says, بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. So this is a different type of wind. So wind sometimes is beneficial and sometimes it's harmful. This is why when there would be strong winds in Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha. Oh Allah, I ask of you the goodness of this wind. Wa khayra ma fiha, and whatever goodness there is in this wind. Wa khayra ma ursilat bihi, and the goodness with which you have sent this wind. Wa a'udhu bika min sharriha, and oh Allah, I seek assistance, I seek refuge in you from the evil of this wind. أعوذ بك من شرها وشر ما فيها وشر ما أرسلت به. So whenever there is a strong wind, this is a masnood dua that we should read. And in the Quran, you will find wind either in its singular form or in its plural form. Singular is ريح, and plural is رياح. So whenever you find رياح, the plural form, this means Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the wind in a positive manner. For example, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِهَا, we send riyah, winds. So this is in a positive manner. And if you find the word riyah in its singular form, then this is in a negative manner, adab and punishment. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّيحَ الْأَقِيمُ. So keeping this in mind, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever there would be a wind, he would make this dua and say, اللهم اجعلها رياحا ولا تجعلها ريحا. Oh Allah, make it riyah, meaning make it the positive wind, one which is beneficial for us. Don't make it riyah, don't make it one which is an azab and punishment for us. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us that ponder over the wind. So these two duas we should read whenever there are strong winds outside. One is اللهم إني أسألك خيرها وخير ما فيها وخير ما أرسلت به وأعوذ بك من شرها وشر ما فيها وشر ما أرسلت به. And the second dua, اللهم اجعلها رياحا ولا تجعلها ريحا. And another aspect of the wind is that wind which Nabi sallallahu, which Allah Ta'ala sends before it's going to rain. So again, when you're in a hot country and it hasn't rained for a long period of time, and then finally Allah Ta'ala is now going to send down the rain, then before Allah Ta'ala is going to send down the rain, there is a wind in the atmosphere which each and every person experiences the joy of. You have to be there to experience this. Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding this that وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِدُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. It is Allah who sends down that wind which is a means of glad tiding before His rahmah, meaning before His rain. So that wind you experience, now you have the glad tidings that now the rain is going to come down, the rain which we have been anticipating for so long. Not like in this country, we don't anticipate rain because we always have rain. So you want the rain to go away. But over there, they anticipate rain. It's been so hot, and now they're waiting for rain, they're waiting for rain. And finally, that wind in the atmosphere, bushram, is a means of glad tidings for them. And the two qualities of this wind is, one is sur'ah and the second is umum. Sur'ah means that this wind is extremely quick. It's a very swift wind. It's not slow. It's very swift. And it has umum. Umum means that every single person is able to experience the effects of this wind. Even that person who's sleeping in his bed in his hut, even he will be able to experience that wind coming into his bedroom. Again, you have to be in those countries like India, Bangladesh, Africa, in those huts where the windows and doors are open, you will be able to experience that wind coming into the house also. So surah is very quick, this wind, very swift. And umum, everyone is able to experience the effect of this wind, no matter where you are. This is why when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentioned the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he wanted to explain to us how generous Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, especially in the month of Ramadan. And the words he used were, فَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَجْوَدُ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is more generous than the wind which Allah Ta'ala sends before it's going to rain. Why? Because surah, very quick. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's generosity was so quick, very quick, that he wouldn't even wait for a single moment that shall I spend this or shall I not spend this? You and I will think for a whole week that this £1, shall I give it in lillah or shall I not give it in lillah? No, it was instant. I have it and it's gone. And umum, everyone would be able to experience the generosity of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not that the family experience his generosity, but a stranger doesn't. No, Muslim and non-Muslim, even the non-Muslim would experience his generosity. So there was no better way to explain the generosity of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam than the manner in which Ibn Abbas does in this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's generosity, just on a normal day, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ajwad an-nas. He was the most generous of all the people. Nobody could compete with his generosity. But in the month of Ramadan, his generosity was now such that his own generosity outside the month of Ramadan, which nobody could compete with, this generosity could not compete with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's generosity in the month of Ramadan. So imagine how generous he was in Ramadan. But it doesn't even end here. There's a stage 3. That hina yalqahu Jibril. At night, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Jibril would read Quran to one another, at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's generosity would go on such a level that that generosity of his, which the outside of Ramadan generosity could not compete with, that generosity could not compete with this generosity now, which he would display when he was in the company of Jibreel alayhi salam. From which the muhaddithin have derived a point that when you spend time in the company of somebody who is noble and pious, instantly your good a'mal and your good actions will increase. This is the benefit of good company. This is why we should spend time in a good environment and in good company. This is why you will see that when you sit in such gatherings, then such thoughts come into your mind that I want to do this also, I want to do this also, I want to carry out this good deed also. And when you are sat at home, those good thoughts will never come into your mind. So we've gone far. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the rih and the wind. That this is also a sign which we should ponder over. All of these are signs through which we can understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala is one and He exists. Inshallah, we will continue from here in next week's lesson. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He places this tawheed into our hearts and minds, and He keeps us with this belief that Allah ta'ala is one and He is the only one worthy of worship. Otherwise, if a person is not granted hidayah, then no matter how intelligent he may be, he will never be able to come to this conclusion. This is why Allah ta'ala says, لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, that these signs are for those people who use their intellect. Hazrat Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan Deobandi rahmatullahi alayhi, his translation is, those jo samaj se kaam lete hai, who use their intellect. So one is being intellectual, one is using the intellect. Otherwise a question will arise that when there are all these signs, there are so many intellectual people in the world, why don't they believe in Allah? So Allah Ta'ala is saying, those who use their intellect. So if you will use your intellect, then you will come to this conclusion that Allah exists and Allah is one. And if you don't use this intellect, no matter how much intellect Allah has given you, you will still remain a kafir or a mushrik. So this iman is a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala keep us upon iman. May He make us leave this world with iman. And those who do not have iman, we make dua for them that Allah Ta'ala also grant them hidayah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
برحمتك يا رب.